Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our service, midweek contemplative service. Thanks for your presence in the sanctuary today. And for those of you joining online, we welcome you and feel your love and presence whenever you might watch this or wherever you might be. Just a reminder, we have a class following service. So if you're joining, you can just stay on the watch page after the service online. Let's take a moment in the silence to wish for the Spirit of God to bless each of us with a double portion of God's grace tonight through our time together. May it be so. Amen.
Tonight's reading is from 2 Kings chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, he and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here. The Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you," Elisha replied. And so the two went on together. 50 of the guild prophets followed, and when the two stopped at the Jordan, they stood facing them at a distance. Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, which divided, and both crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask for whatever I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha answered, "May I receive a double portion of your spirit? You have asked something that is not easy," Elijah replied. "Still, if you see me taken up from you, your wish will be granted, otherwise not." As they walked on conversing, a flaming chariot and flaming horses came between them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. When Elisha saw it happen, he cried out, "My father, my father, Israel's chariots and drivers." But when he could no longer see him, Elisha gripped his own garment and tore it in two. Then he picked up Elijah's mantle that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. Wielding the mantle that had fallen from Elijah, Elisha struck the water in his turn and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When Elisha struck the water, it divided and he crossed over. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
This is a passage that needs care to interpret for our lives today. On the one hand, it certainly is one of the original UFO sightings of the Bible, which you can make a good case for, indeed. But what I'd like to begin with is more on the practical side of things, and that is the distinction between Elijah and Elisha. You can remember, here's a little helpful memory device, J comes before S. So Elijah is the first, and then Elisha. In fact, lately I've heard people pronounce Elisha no longer as Elisha, but as Elisha. Elisha. That's actually the bit closer pronunciation to the Hebrew. But it's a helpful way to not get them confused. Elijah, with the J, is the first, and his mentee, his successor, is Elisha, Elisha. The second thing to, just on a practical level, take in and apply is that if you interpret these types of passages on the literal level, on the historical level, and that's appropriate to do, we don't do that so much here, or at least we start at that level and then we go deeper. But it's a challenging passage. These are challenging passages to interpret literally or on that historical level, in part because these are figures that are long lost to history, and it's hard for us to connect with them. But there is a way to connect with these types of passages, and that is to not read for the specific meaning of the people, but to see the larger type of people and the types that they are indicating. And you can read the Bible and the different stories of the scriptures, and you can begin to identify the various types that keep repeating through the scriptures. So, for example, Elijah is a further type of Moses. Moses, who crossed the Great Sea by striking it with his staff and it parted. And here we see the type of Moses coming forward in Elijah striking the Jordan River and crossing over. And these are little indications that there is connections and development between these characters. And you can go through the whole Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures and begin to pick out the types that are indications of what is to come. And the only way you can really see that is by looking backward. As we look back with the New Testament in our minds, with Jesus in our minds, so to speak, we can see all the various types that Jesus fulfills, the precursors to Jesus. So in many cases, we can begin with Adam. Adam is a type, a forerunner, the firstborn among men. Jesus is the new Adam. Moses, or you could say Abraham, start with Abraham. Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel, of a large people. Jesus is the new father and brother of all people. Moses is the lawgiver. Jesus is the new lawgiver. Moses goes up Mount Sinai, receives the Ten Commandments, comes down and proclaims them after the second time, after he destroyed the first tablets. Jesus goes up the mount and gives his Sermon on the Mount, and then comes back down and does ministry with the people. You can see these types parallel and play against each other throughout the scriptures. But then we come to the kings. After Abraham and Moses, we come to the kings, the three famous kings of all, King Solomon, King David, and King Saul, David, and Solomon, those three kings. And David is the pinnacle of the three. He's the man after God's heart. He's the type of Christ. He's the type of the Son of God. And he is the heir to Jesus, who was born in the lineage of David, which was very important, that the Messiah would come from the lineage of David. So you've got, obviously, the forefather Abraham, then you've got the lawgiver Moses, then you've got the kings, and then you come to what are known as the prophets. And the most famous prophet of all is Elijah, with a J. Elijah is the most famous of all the prophets. He led a school of prophets. In this case, there was 50 of them with him at this time. But he had hundreds and hundreds of prophets. He was a very famous, very powerful man of being who, as a type of Christ, also raised someone from the dead, healed a famine, and famously called down the fire of God and lit up this pyre that had been soaking in tons of water and defeated the gods of Baal or Baal. And so Elijah is this type of prophet that Jesus then follows in his footsteps by doing similar things. Now, you know, whatever you make of all these things, it's a helpful way to see the types that guide the whole scriptures and unfold the scriptures and give us a kind of indication of how to read the scriptures and how one unfolds to the next and how one transcends the next. And in looking back from Jesus, you can begin to see how these types began to, as it were, pave the way for Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, and why Jesus' ministry, as the Gospels tell us, might be fulfilling some of these types that went before him. In other words, Jesus wasn't just doing things, he was actually completing and fulfilling things in his lineage, in the Jewish tradition, in the shadow of these great types before him. We call them archetypes, and he was completing one and fulfilling one. And so we come now to the personal or the spiritual aspect of Elijah, the Elijah stories. And in a certain sense, you can enter into this by asking the question, when do you feel that your world is coming to an end? Have you ever felt that your world is coming to an end, that everything you held onto, viewed for certain, or was a comfort or consolation or a sense of purpose for you, a sense of meaning for you, was being lost, coming to an end? And in this case, not only had the kings died, not only had Moses long before died, not only had all the kings died and the nation of Israel had been fragmented, but now the greatest prophet of all was about to die. It'd be like George Washington about to die, or Abraham Lincoln. The world's going to come to end. What's going to happen? And they had invested so much trust and confidence in Elijah. What was going to happen now? What would come of them when they had to let go of this being who helped them so much and gave them a purpose, gave them a sense of guidance and sense of that the world is going to be okay? So perhaps we can just feel into that question. Where do we go when we feel our world is coming apart or where the world is ending as we know it? And to accept that situation, to not resist that situation, is in a certain sense to ask for help, but also to receive something, to receive the new. And in this case, Elisha knows that this moment is coming. He's about to lose his master, his teacher, the prophet, the great prophet of Israel. Now what? And he can't believe it. And he says, give me a double portion of your spirit because I can't do this on my own. I don't know how to go on without you. And if you haven't come to that place in life where you say that to someone, I don't know how to do this without you, you may not understand the depth of Elisha's situation. I don't know how to go on, if you've ever been there. I need help. I need a double portion. Give me a sign when you're gone. And of course, then he is given the double portion. He is given that sign, and Elijah is taken from his midst, whatever that means, without dying. Now, later in the New Testament, there's a famous scene called the Mount of Transfiguration, where apparently perhaps Moses and Elijah are having a conversation with Jesus in this cloud of witnesses, this great conscious circle of humanity that lives on in a different dimension. And Elijah, as a type, ministers and to Jesus, who's fulfilling his type. And Moses, as a type, is ministering to him. Perhaps other angels are ministering to him. And so it's a beautiful scene of how sometimes what we think is an end is just a beginning in a different way. I thought I'd just bring an application to this by reading Michael Singer's new book, Living Untethered, just a small little sample of this, because he has a way of putting the work ideas in a very simple, accessible way. But I thought about this in terms of perhaps if you're dealing with coming to the end of something and not knowing how you'll go on or go forward, that it's a type of experience that all human beings have, that all of us come to a moment of grief, of loss, of letting go, and we're given the choice of either clinging or releasing. And this is Michael Singer's wisdom from his new book, Living Untethered, a sequel to his first famous book, The Untethered Soul. This is from page 64. When events come into your life, they are meant to be experienced by you. If you have trouble experiencing them, that's the whole purpose of learning, to accept what's happening. What right do we have to either cling to or resist reality? You can't hold on to Elijah when it's Elijah's time to go. You don't make reality, and you weren't and haven't been here for the billions of years that created it. How about that question I asked earlier? Do you like the fact that Saturn has rings? Your answer was, it's none of my business. That's the correct response. For every type of reality in all the billions of years that end up in front of us right now, and all that has gone before us. The real question is not whether you like things, it's why you are not okay with things from time to time. The reason we are not okay with things is actually quite simple, because you can't digest them. It's hard to let some experiences just pass through without residually disturbing you. But you need to learn how to do this. You learn to play tennis, you learn to play the piano, you learned all kinds of things. You learned how to even do calculus, but you didn't know how to do these things to begin with. They were surely uncomfortable when you first started, but the soul can learn. You, in there, the consciousness, can learn to experience reality in a different way. In order to do so, you must not resist reality. Otherwise, you're going to immediately push reality away. That's what acceptance is. It's non-resistance. It is having the commitment to fully allow reality to pass directly into the highest part of your being. That's what acceptance is. Non-resistance. It is having the commitment to fully allow reality to pass directly into the highest part of your being. In the end, all you are surrendering is your resistance to reality. You learn to let it come in, even if it is not comfortable, as it pours into you. So one of the things we can learn from Elijah is to let go of the things that we cherish and that mean so much to us. And wow, what do you know? We get blessed more than we could ever imagine. Letting go and letting be and accepting reality is a beautiful way to be transformed, a type of being that we're all dealing with. When we feel we've come to the edge of our being or the end of the world as we know it, don't despair. It's just a moment to be digested. And if you can digest it, we can grow through it. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the spirit and again ask for that double portion for the help we need for this day. Amen.
Let us rest in the silence of the beloved for 20 minutes of centering prayer.
Thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray with, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. living and eternal Christ. We feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you for your presence tonight in community. The love of God, the grace of Christ, power of the Holy Spirit lift you up and give you that double portion. Amen.